part of the vision as we launched into this series was to be able to talk about the vastness of the family of God. And simply this truth that nobody has the corner on the market when it comes to the people that God calls his children. And for us to be able to explore a lot of different arenas about what this looks like. And so 2 months ago, we started off this series talking about very specifically what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. For us today, literally, what it means to be a part of a local church like this. And we were able to spend some time in 1 Corinthians 12 and being challenged by Paul's words as he says to us, if you are a part of the body of Christ, number one, there's no reason, and do you have the opportunity at any point to say, I don't belong. I'm not good enough. I don't have a part in this place. He says that's not the case because Christ is the head. You become a part of the body. You have a part to play in the body. But he says in the same way that none of us could ever say, I don't have a part to play here. He says you have no opportunity either to point across the aisle and say to anyone else, you don't have a part here. You don't have a place here. In other words, the children of God is very vast and each of us have a part to play as we are walking faithfully with Jesus Christ. Well, from there, we started to talk about what it means to be a part of the family of God. And we found ourselves in the book of Acts when Paul was having some conversation. And I said to you on that day that it's very interesting for Paul, when he wanted to have the conversation with people about the story of God and the story of Jesus for the very first time, he started out with that image. We are the offspring of God. God is our Father. And we talked about some of the different images that Father evokes for some of us. And for some of us, maybe that's not a great image. For some of it, it is. But ultimately, that as we are children of God, we become a part of the family of God, and we walk in the way, understanding that we have an inheritance with this Father who is leading us. Well, the Sunday after that, Pastors Javier and Fabiana sat up here, and they shared their incredible story about God has been working through their family and through their calling. And even in the midst of them fulfilling their calling, God was able to pull them back for times of respite and refocus in their family and what that meant for their boys, Alex and Leo. Very blessed to have them with us at Centerpoint. Love you guys so much. From there, we launched right into a week early celebration of All Saints Day. If you weren't here for All Saints Day, you missed the opportunity that we set aside once a year to remember and honor all of those that have gone before us in this past year as we reflect on those that have passed away. But not just to remember those that have passed away from our midst, but to reflect on their lives and the lives that they were leading and ultimately asking the question, what within them calls us forward? Well, from there, we launched into FX Sunday, and Pastor Ryan was out here, and we had somebody falling all over the stage like every 2 minutes, you know? It was beautiful. And Pastor Ryan gave us simply this challenge, that for us as parents, our time is running short. It's getting shorter every day, and he asked us this question, what does it look like for us to be faithful to Deuteronomy 6, to be teaching our children in the ways of the Lord as we are the primary caretakers and caregivers for them spiritually in their lives. Well, the week after that, I got to stand up here and share a pretty long story about my experience at the CAFO conference this past year, the Christian Alliance for Orphans. And my experience there was simply exposure to a lot of conversations and arenas related to orphanhood and children around the world and human trafficking and foster care, and a lot of conversations that I'd been on the outskirts of for a long time, but was able to dive in much deeper. And on that day, we were in a text out of John where Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I'm going to send my spirit to come. I won't leave you as orphans. And there's this place for children to be in forever families, and that one of the primary populations that needs to be rising up in our world to give forever families to children who don't have moms and dads is the Christian community. And I shared with you even on that day, if one family out of every two congregations in the United States would adopt a foster kid, there would be no orphans in the United States of America if just one family out of every two congregations. And so those types of statistics that can just take us by storm and overwhelm us if we're not careful. But I started out that day with one of the lies from the enemy. That lie being simply this: you cannot make a difference. So whatever the situation is, whatever the issue is, the circumstance that's going on out in our community or our world, the lie of the enemy is to say to you, you're insignificant, you can't make a difference, don't even try. And that stands in direct contrast to 1 Corinthians 12 that says, no, you have a part to play. You're a part of the body. Christ is the head. He's called you forward to great purpose. Well, last week, we came in here, did something we've never done before. If you missed last week, I'm sorry you missed it. But we came in and we had soda and popcorn, and we got to see an incredible movie called Find Me, as we were able to walk the stories of some families who were adopting from China, and very specifically trying to figure out what the finding place was of those children, to be able to walk beside these families as they not only give the gift of adoption, but also receive the gift of a child and a new family member in their home. Great, great opportunity. Well, today, I'm kind of giving you all that information like you're drinking out of a fire hose. But all that is to build up to where we're going to be today for the next half hour or so. Just over a year ago, CenterPoint was able to kind of get its first exposure to an incredible organization right here, based out of Orlando, but literally reaching across the globe, which is called Nathaniel's Hope. And for a while now, we've been trying to, as a congregation, figure out what does it look like, or what would it look like, or what could it look like for us to be able to walk beside Nathaniel's Hope and being able to reach out to families that have children with special needs. Children that are a part of the family of God, families that need love and support, and again, who better to be able to provide that than the people who call themselves children of God? Well, I'm very excited this morning to be able to introduce to you Tim and Marie Cook. I'm going to ask Tim and Marie to come on up and join me on the stage. Put your hands together, show your love for Tim and Marie Cook. They're going to come this morning and share their story and share their heart. And my appeal to you is the same appeal I've had for you for the last several weeks. Would you approach this time with open hearts and open ears and maybe just begin to ask, Lord, would you call me in this direction? And so I know you can figure out from here which one is Tim and which one is Marie. So blessed to have you as CenterPoint this morning. Truly an honor. Looking forward to hearing your story. So I'm going to turn this over and go sit down. Okay. Everybody with me, say
awesome,
uh-huh.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. It is great to be here today. And it's really a privilege as I hear Pastor Dwayne sharing. You know, we're here to tell our story. And, you know, each one of us are writing a story. We're penning the story of our life. Today, we might put a word or two in our journal called Life. And as we're here today, Marie and I are going to do a little tag team thing. Actually, I'm going to go first, and I'm a little slow. I'm like a tropical storm, like words up maybe up to 70 a minute. And then Marie, she can speak 150 words a minute, so she's going to go a little bit faster. But we're delighted to be here just to tell our story. And so we've been married 27 years. We have two adult daughters and a little boy in heaven, and that little boy in heaven is the one that actually launched us on this journey called Nathaniel's Hope. But part of that story, we have a unique connection here because of Shelley Cummins. I had the privilege of working with Shelley Cummins at Regal Boats for, I'm thinking about 15 years. I don't know exactly, but about 15 years. So I knew Shelley before I knew Marie. And our family owns Regal Boats here in town, and I've had the privilege of growing up in the boat business. And so when I met Marie, Shelley was on the inside track of our relationship. And Marie lived in Minnesota. She was a widow and a youth pastor in Minnesota. And I lived here in Orlando. And during the course of our courtship, about 4 or 5 months in, some friends of mine kind of set up this surprise party. I was supposed to fly to Minneapolis to be with Marie. And then Shelley was in cahoots. She faked a plane ticket for, and actually, you said you actually were the instigator. Where Marie flew down, and we had this little surprise party. And why don't you go from there?
Yeah, so Shelley was on the inside of that, you know, and sometime we'll have to come back and tell you about it. There's a marriage series going on here. But Shelley was very instrumental in helping get us together. So, Shelley, we're so grateful to you, and it's a great story. And I want to tell you this little secret here. We actually have an affectionate nickname for Shelley. Is it okay if I tell them? It's all right. So our daughters, when they were first born, they couldn't quite say Shelley, so they'd call her Shasha. So Shelley is always Shasha to us, but we're just so grateful, Shelley, for the role you've played in our life, and we love you, and we're grateful to be here today. And thank you, Pastor Dwayne and Marley, as well, for allowing us to be here today.
So we're going to share a little bit about our story, but you know, God doesn't call us to be successful. Mother Teresa said, God doesn't ask us to succeed. He desires for us to be faithful. And the good news is each one of us can be faithful by the grace of God. And so as we're here and we share our story, my prayer at the end of the day is just that I'm faithful. It's not about having our name in lights, and it's not about doing great things in the eyes of the world. It's about just being faithful to the calling, the unique calling that God has for each one of us. So we're going to just show a little video here that kind of frames out how we got to here, and then we'll continue. All right. So that gives you a little snapshot of a little bit of our story. You know, 15 years ago, last Sunday, I get a call from Marie. I'm in Southern Illinois at a missions conference, and Marie was in an ambulance, and she said, I think Nathaniel's died. We're trying to resuscitate him now. God broke our heart. Our hearts were broken. You know, life was interrupted. It wasn't on her calendar. It wasn't part of our planning that one day we'd have a son and the next day we didn't. But, you know, the good news in all that is our times are in his hands. And we can trust him even when our life is interrupted. When there's a roadblock and a barrier, you know, God will provide a way. He'll provide a detour. And so, for us, when that happened, as the video kind of shares, we knew it wasn't really the end, it was really the beginning, and that God had purpose in all this. And you know, the great news is, as each one of us sit here today, God knows each one of us by name. He knows us. He knows the gifts. He knows who we are. He knows our story. And God wants to use us for his glory. And so in the case of our little boy, who never walked or talked or ate with his mouth, that little boy moved in our hearts to launch a ministry called Nathaniel's Hope to pull alongside families that were like ours, as the video shares, maybe only had two Fs or three Fs. And so what a privilege that is. And so for us, as this happened, you know, the scripture in Proverbs says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord's purposes will prevail. We all have plans, right? We all have a thought of what the future might be. But the Lord's purposes will prevail. And then the other scripture says, the mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord will direct his steps. And so I think part of being a Christian is we have to live a surrendered life, realizing that life can be interrupted, but God will use those turns in the road for his glory. And so our responsibility is to be faithful. That's what he wants us to do. And I know oftentimes I want to try to get into this mode of predicting the future and planning the future, but seldom is it like I think it's going to be. And matter of fact, I say just when you think you can predict the future, remember the past, because it's probably not going to be like you think it's going to be. And so we're stewards of the life God has given us. He's called us apart. Out of our son's life and death was the moist soil of our human hearts that grew a calling. And so out of that we started Nathaniel's Hope. But it was a very turbulent time. And there was after our son's death, I found my place. Actually, it was January 2002. I found myself in a place I didn't really care if I lived or died. I was at a place of brokenness, a place of, I would say, at a place of depression. I just didn't really care if I lived or died. Now, that makes no sense, right? Makes no sense, rationally. But I wasn't rationally sick. I was emotionally sick because we had unexpectedly lost her son. And so I found this place where I was at, and I had this vision in my mind that I was trying to cross this raging river of grief. And I had my hands on a rope, and the rope was taut one side to the other. And I'm hanging onto this rope, trying to cross one day at a time, this river of grief. And just when I begin to make progress, another wave of grief would hit me, and I would go under it. I'd be hanging onto this rope that's taut. And then I'd come back up. And I knew that there was another side because the road was taut. And so but I couldn't see the other side. And that rope was the rope of hope in Christ. You know that ultimately we have the hope of heaven. And that God will see us through. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. No matter what the circumstances, he'll see us through. And it is the grace of God that makes up the difference. That grace, that unmerited favor, that which you can't earn, he provides. And so if our cup is half empty, he fills up the rest with his grace so you can get through. So during the course of this season where we had our son and lost our son, it was a very turbulent time in our family. But his grace made up the difference. And so we, since we're stewards of the life that God has given us, we need to apply what we experience to life. And so from that came Nathaniel's hope. And so we're so privileged. There's a, you know, the scripture in Corinthians says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfect in weakness." You know, the most painful place we can be at is a place of brokenness. But it is also the place where we can be closest to our Father, and that he meets us at that point of need, at that place of brokenness. So his strength is perfected in weakness. You know, his ways are higher than our ways. You know, we're called to honor God with our lives, and I believe we're called to give ourselves away for his glory. And it's not about us, it's about him. And that life is too valuable to waste it on ourselves. And that we need to part of our walk with Christ is to surrender and give ourselves away for his glory. In Galatians, the scripture says, Galatians 5:6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And so that's what we're called to do as a church body. That's what we're called to do with these families that have what we call VIP kids. And we want to just show you another short little two-minute video that kind of tells the story of what some of these families have to walk through. Enjoy the video.
So when we see a video like this, I don't know what your internal response is to that. You know, sometimes if we've never been around somebody with a disability, the fear factor could come in where we say, you know, I don't know what to do. And oftentimes we're afraid of what we don't know. How many of you here have some kind of family member, or you have a disability, or you have a family member with a disability, a neighbor, anybody here? Okay, so a lot of people in here, because disability does touch us all in some way, whether we're born with a disability or we acquire a disability. Sometimes we feel guilty, you know, because we say, why not me? Why is it somebody else? And so we feel guilty, so we kind of turn away and we feel awkward. And I know when I was growing up, my mom, if I saw a person with a disability, she'd say, don't stare, don't, you know. But really, by not staring or not reaching out, we kind of cut off this part of the family, you know, when a simple hello or just a gesture of love can make a difference like that. Sometimes we think, well, you know what? That big church across the street, they can handle working with kids with special needs because they're a lot bigger. They've got a lot more resources, you know? But I believe God's response would be different. In Matthew 25:40, it says, as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. As you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And I don't say that disrespectfully. People with disabilities, VIP kids, are not any less than anybody else. But there's a stronger part of the body and there's a weaker part of the body. There's a stronger part of the family and there's a weaker part of the family. And those of us who are stronger have a responsibility to wrap our arms around the weaker part to make a difference and to help them and to cheer them on their journey like that. I believe today if Jesus were here in person, I believe he'd be hanging around families with disabilities. Do you know that 70% of the miracles he performed were to people with disabilities? You know, he was with this crowd all the time. When the Bible talks about that we're all created in his image, he doesn't say, well, I made you in my image. I made you in my image. I made you. Oops. When I got to you, I made a mistake. There are no mistakes. Our little boy, as Tim said, who never walked or talked or ate with his mouth, God had a purpose for his life. God had a purpose, you know, something that we couldn't even understand at the time like that. And when we don't intentionally bring in kids or families that have kids with special needs, it's like we're cutting off part of the body. It's like we're cutting off the ear, we're cutting off the elbow, we're cutting off the wrist, the knee, some part that is valuable, because it's not only what we can bring to these family members, but what these family members, what God wants to bring through their lives. Our little boy who never walked or talked or ate with his mouth taught us so much about the character of God that our fully able daughters could not teach us. There were hidden treasures even through the hard times like that. So as we think about what our response would be, I think as we look to the book of Luke chapter 14, then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may not invite you back, and so you will be repaid, or they will invite you back. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So this is my paraphrase version, Marie's paraphrase version. You know, we're going to have dinner this week, right? Big Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday. We're all getting ready for that, and we're making our guest list, like who's going to come, you know, what family are coming, what folks are we going to be bringing in, you know? But who's on our guest list, you know? But every Sunday, it's not just Thanksgiving, but every Sunday, we kind of have a dinner party here or a gathering called church, right? And so I want to ask you, who's on our guest list when we think about who we want to invite in on Sunday mornings or to be a part of this church family here? Who's on that guest list? There are over 50 million people with a disability in the United States today. And do you know, you want to know something? Only 10% of people with disabilities even attend church. Only 10% of our disabled family even come to churches, because oftentimes we just don't realize that this community is out here. And if we could just make a few provisions, we could be very welcoming in for this community. We don't believe that there is any disabled soul. You know, God doesn't have souls that are able and those that are disabled. There is no disabled soul. I promise you, my little boy who couldn't, you know, eat with his mouth, talk, all these things, I promise you that when we would bring him into a church service and the worship began, that his little spirit began to connect and was experiencing things that perhaps we had even been missing out on. There are no disabled souls. So how should the church respond to this community? I want to read to you this letter. It's a little bit harsh, but I want to read it to you because I think it's important to hear maybe what some of the family that might be out there, church, unchurched people that don't feel like they can belong in church. But it says here, our church is a wonderful children's ministry, but my son has been left behind. Unfortunately, the same thing that happened to my family that seems to happen to a lot of other families with VIP children. The church is the last place that one finds understanding, compassion, or a helping hand. I've had store crew clerks who we don't even know be more understanding and compassionate toward us. Ouch. We have been very alone in this. Thank God for my mother, or we would not be able to attend church at all. The head of our children's ministry is a loving woman who is overworked, and there is no one else who really cares about my son or our struggles at our church. The Buddy Break program sounds wonderful. What I wouldn't give for something like that. But our church is so busy with the needs of those who don't attend to worry about the mission field right under their noses here. I wish I could say that I had the energy to be the one to start this at our church, but I was just diagnosed with lupus after 26 years of suffering, pain, and extreme fatigue, and my marriage is in shambles, and I have to talk myself through each and every task throughout the day because I'm so exhausted and because there is no one else to do everything that a mom and wife need to do. Now, this is a very harsh letter, and I don't read this to say this is a reflection of the church here at all, but this is a reflection of a church across America at large. There's a community out there that is an unreached community that is looking, that is knocking at the door saying, please, let us in, you know, we need hope, we need help. I can tell you that if Tim and I hadn't been solid believers before we had Nathaniel on our journey, I'm not sure that we would be standing here today because there's a number that's out there that says that there's a 70% or 80% divorce rate for families that have kids with special needs, and another 90% if you lose a child. So it's a very high statistics, you know, for failure. And these families are the families that need to be at our altars here and need to be part of the church body to understand the hope of Christ and know that there's the hope of Christ that can carry them through. So there's great opportunity for us to reach out. So how should the church respond to this? Well, first of all, we have a decision to make, and that this is a church at large, but also personally. Are we going to be tolerant or are we going to be intentional for families like this that are in our community? Being tolerant means somebody shows up at church with a disability, you know, might have a child or even could be adult. They come in and we just say, well, I'm not sure. Yeah, we don't have a ministry here, but maybe we could put you in a nursery or we'll do something. Being intentional means that we open up our arms wide and we say, this church family welcomes all people. We welcome you. We may not understand what your needs are. We might not understand all the things to do, but we're willing to learn and to be on this journey with you. But you are welcome to be part of our family here. That's being intentional. Special needs ministry can be messy. It can be difficult at times. But think about family members that you have in your own family. Can they be difficult at times? Can situations be messy at times? You know, but are we willing to be intentional to welcome them in? We need to think about, you know, how does the church respond? We don't want to make families beg to be in our congregations. Families, VIP families, have to fight for everything. They have to fight insurance companies. They have to fight school systems. The list goes on and on. They should never have to come to church and fight coming to be part of the body and to say, I just want to belong. I'm looking for a place to belong. Because our arms should be wide open like that. Most of the time, families have kids with special needs. It's not a result of bad choices. Sometimes in life, we have circumstances that we end up in a situation, people make bad choices, and because of that, they have a difficult life. Most of the time, families that have kids with special needs didn't make a bad decision. You know, their child was born to them. They were blessed with this child, or perhaps there was an accident or something happened along the way, and they acquired in that situation. So, you know, we have an opportunity to help this community. Do you know that there are 34,000 kids identified in the Orange County school system as having a special need? If you add one sibling to that, and maybe you add one parent because of the high divorce rate, there's an opportunity of like 100,000 people in this area that need hope and help and need a family to belong to, a body of Christ. So we have incredible opportunities, you know. So I think as we think about this community, you say, well, Marie, how do you be intentional? You know, one of the ways is to anticipate their need. So, you know, Tim talked about the difficult journey a little bit. And I can, you know, I can tell you that when we had our son, we never slept at night. You know, I mean, his care was completely involved 24/7. And that's not for every family. Every family has a different journey because some kids have mild, moderate, or severe disability. But every family does have their own unique journey. And if we can just begin to anticipate what their need is, you know, and one of the ways we can anticipate their need is to offer them respite care. Respite care is just giving somebody a break, you know. You have seen those Kit Kat bars, you know, give me a break, that, okay. So every time you see a Kit Kat bar, I didn't bring one here today for Pastor, but every time you see, you have your Kit Kat bar, okay, awesome. It's to remember to pray for families that need a break like that. But we think about it, you know. Giving a family a break is one of the greatest things you could do. It's like giving that cup of cold water in Jesus' name, you know. It's ministering to a practical need that they have within their lives. We currently have a program. So this program that we have provides respite called Buddy Break. And we're very excited about the opportunity to partner with your church here to bring a Buddy Break program right to this church family, that this church family can begin to open their arms up in an even greater way than you've already done to welcome this community in. So Buddy Break is once a month for 3 hours. Your church opens up its doors and said, you know what? You are welcome. If you have a child with special needs, you are welcome to bring them here. And we're going to love them. We're going to play with them, and we're going to give you a break for 3 hours. And in doing so, four things happen. The kids have fun. kids have a place to belong. So often, you know, and you probably have seen things on the internet that go over about the bullying and the ways that families are not or kids aren't welcome. You know, they don't have a place to belong. So this is a place that it's all about the kids, and it's a place for them to belong and to experience the love of Christ. Secondly, it gives parents that much needed break. When we first started this program, we started a church here in Orlando 13 years ago. We would have a mom literally come in and drop her child off at the church. She was a single parent. She'd go in the parking lot and she'd recline her chair for 3 hours and go to sleep in her car because she never got a break. Because most of the time, you know, families that have VIP kids, families, their natural families don't necessarily rally around them to help them, and they're very much on this journey on their own. And so this mom had nobody. And so when we started our first program, that this is how the church provided that cup of cold water and was able to minister to this mom in a very tangible way. So because you just can't call the girl down the street and say, would you watch my child, because you need a little bit more care like that. Thirdly, volunteers are trained. So you may be sitting here today and say, before we had my son, when I youth pastor before, I'd see kids with special needs on Sunday, and I'd high-five them and think, good job, Marie, you reached out, you know, until I had my son, and then I realized how short I fell from understanding the needs of this community. But it was because I was scared. I didn't know what to do. But a respite program will actually train volunteers in a church to get comfortable with disability, because a lot of it is just learning how to get over your fear. And if you've got to chase that child with autism for 3 hours, you finally learn what's going to make them stop and how to communicate. And now you can begin, and you're equipped to work on Sunday mornings and invite these families to come in and be part of the family here, the body of Christ, on Sunday mornings, so they can belong in this community here. And fourthly, it's a great missions outreach. We have seen Muslims, Buddhists, Jehovah's Witnesses, all kinds of unsaved people come because the church has opened their doors and brought the cup of cold water and say, we love you, we care, and you're welcome to be here. You're welcome to be part of our family. So it's a great opportunity, and we're so excited to be able to. I'm checking my time up, but time is about up here. I want to read one more letter to you and then just show a short video to you here. But this is from written by a family that has three VIP kids, two girls with autism and one with Down syndrome. And I had called this mom one day just to check up on her and just say, you know, how is it going? You know, is there anything we could do to help you? And she wrote back and said, we have almost nowhere to turn, and we're in a situation that is extremely trying. Madeline was up most of last night screaming. Molly was up the night before yelping. Megan is home with the flu but is nonverbal, so we didn't know she was sick until she was very sick. As you know, this is so tiring, and I like to think we have endless energy and hope, but I do not. So I need to reach out to others for help. As I see it, we are all one big family when it comes to raising Megan, Molly, and Maddie. Matt and I are just the everyday people, and you are the line behind us. You are all what gives us strength to get up every night with one or all of them. When we see something in the paper about parents who lose it, we always say, why didn't they ask for help? And so I'm saying, help! Yet so few care to hear us. But you all do, and it's appreciated more than can be expressed. I need to just have quiet sometimes to clear my head and not to be responsible. I need to sit down and eat. I need to take a shower. I need to see my husband as a husband and not a fellow caretaker. When he's away, I need to regroup, start over, and get my house clean and ready for the rest of the weekend. We need to go to the store and be able to shop and stay at the store as long as we need to without leaving because of a tantrum. It's actually vital to us as a functioning family. We moved here for school, but we have no family here that can help us. You have become our family, and now we rely upon you as family. And this is a raw letter, you know, really, really written, one parent's perspective like that. But the good news is that we have an opportunity to help families like the family I just read about through this program called Buddy Break. And I'd just like to show you just a short video of what Buddy Break can look like at your church here. Doesn't that look like fun? That was a lead-in question now. So we're very excited because we started Buddy Break here in Orlando, Florida. We have about 160 churches now in 22 states that partner with us. And our goal is to partner with 1,000 churches by 2020. But we're really excited because we believe you can be church number 161 to make this happen. Amen? Isn't that great? So here's what we need. In closing here, here's what we need. You know, we need people just to step forward and say, I don't understand. I've never worked with kids with special needs. I don't know. I've never done this before, but I'm willing. So if your little heart is thumping this morning, you're feeling a pull, and you know, a lot of times you see a need and you don't know what to do. There is something we can do. Providing respite care is something that the church body can do. So we're looking for ordinary people just to make themselves available. If you're sitting here today and you are a business person, we have trained top-level executives to be buddies at Buddy Break. We have trained high school students who can get community service hours. We've trained senior citizens down in Venice, Florida. We have about 75 senior citizens that every month take care of kids with special needs through Buddy Break. You know, we've seen families work together. It's a great opportunity for families to serve together. But we just need people to step forward and say, I'm willing to be a buddy. Now, we also need people to step forward and say, you know, I'm just not a kid person, but I've got leadership skills and administration. I can help organize this program. Or I'm very creative and I could put a very fun program together. Or maybe you're just oozing with compassion and you say, I would love to just talk to families and pray with them. It takes everybody doing a little part to make this happen. And it will for sure change the life of your church. It'll change your life as you're coming forward to say, you know, what can I do? And here I am to make myself available. You're going to find how these kids will just change your life. So I invite you after service today. We have a little booth out back, and we'd love to take your name and information and provide you with more information. The good news is we will train you, so you don't have to go out to find training. We will train you here. We do need medical people. We could use some teachers. I mean, whatever your background is, we could use it, but there's a place for you to serve. And, you know, we're just calling you today. If you would step forward and say, you know, God, I want to be here, be available for you. I like to say that Buddy Break is empowering people to be like Jesus with skin on today to reach this family, these families, and to make a difference. So, okay, this is all I have to say, and I'm very excited about the opportunity to part with you. Can I just close in prayer right now? Father, I just thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for this wonderful church family here, God. And I thank you, Lord, that that this family does understand, God, about being inclusive, Father, and welcoming all parts of the body, and Lord. And I thank you, God, for how they're reaching out to the community in so many ways, God, to so many different populations, God, to make a difference, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, that that this body would continue to grow, Father, in being a welcoming, and God, in intentional, God, in their efforts, Lord, to reach out to kids with special needs and their families. I pray that you bless this church abundantly, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that as folks step forward to make themselves available, God, that you would bless them, God, in an abundant way, God, more than they ever could imagine, Father, as they've been faithful, God, to respond to your call, God. So I pray you'd use this church, God, to touch your kids, God, your special kids, God, for your glory, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.